Praise the Lord and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who is very thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious family of God everywhere and ask your continued prayers for me, as they are appreciated. And it's always a blessing for the broadcast and the daily bread, as it's very much needed and good food for the soul. Good, edifying, encouraging preaching of Jesus, Brother Rice. Just keep on preaching, as the saints do need you. And may the Lord help the saints to stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come is my prayer. And Lord, bless all the saints everywhere. Maranatha.
Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? Hallelujah. Oh, I heard this preacher that was on the broadcast this morning say that being gay is a gift from God. I guess he was interviewing with, what's her name? Oprah. Praise the Lord. Of course, he turned the hearts of many people. They were weeping and going, oh, yeah. Being gay is not a gift from God. Being gay is an abomination in the sight of God. And for someone to call himself a minister and say that stuff, it's abominable. Of course, there's much of that going on. You know that. That was a while ago, but more so today than then. That's what Mr. Obama did when he got in. He just rolled out the red carpet to the gays. Now, we shouldn't throw rocks at them, but we shouldn't say that their lifestyle is godly. Absolutely not. Come on. But if you're a politician, then you get beyond that. I notice how Mr. Obama, how he referred to the Bible and how he referred to the Quran. He never called the Bible holy. No, he didn't. And he said, we can't live by it. Now, the Quran he called holy. How about that? He never did say we couldn't live by the Quran. See how that is? Well, thank you, Lord. God is good, his mercy forever. The gift of God is eternal life. That's not gays. All right? The gift of God is eternal life. Y'all know where I find it? All right. Right. So somebody say that being gay is a gift. They lie. We could also say Jesus Christ is the gift of God. Y'all know that. God's unspeakable gift. He's the one that God gave that we might live, or that we might be free, that we might be saved. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. But you say eternal life, that's in Christ. In fact, all of God's good gifts come through Jesus Christ. Being gay does not come through Jesus Christ. Being a Baptist don't come through Jesus Christ. Phil? No wages. See, these things don't come through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. The gift of God is eternal life, Jesus Christ. And all the good gifts come through him. All things of him, by him, and through him. Yeah, he is the protagonist. He's a preeminent one. By him all things consist. He was before all things. All right. You all awful quiet this morning. I'm going to press on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So you know the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Again, it's verified or confirmed in John chapter 4. He told the woman that he'd asked for a drink. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink. So again, the gift of God is eternal life. The good and perfect gifts that James speak of come through Jesus Christ. If we remember through, we do good. So whatever we have, it's just not, doesn't start with us. See, it comes down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every good and every perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Father, in Jesus' name, help us today to glorify thy name. Help me to speak as the oracles of God. Help us, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit said. Be doers of the work today. Cause us to dwell together in unity. Behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We would walk circumspectly. We would walk worthy. We would walk in the fear of God. Let your fear be upon us. And thy dread, O God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So here we have the instructions on perfection. It's the same with us. If thou wilt be perfect, surrender all to Jesus and give your allegiance to him and to him only. We need a single heart to do it. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. That's in order. Without knowing his ways, we won't walk in his truth. Unite my heart. Well, we need that too. That's also a necessary ingredient. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me. Amen. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. The proud are risen up against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. But thou, O God, thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant. And save the son of thine handmaid. Shew me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Thank you, Lord. Hosea 10:1 says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased his altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Verse 2, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars and spoil their images. So, you see why Brother David said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Yes. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Or we should love him. We shall love him with a perfect heart. Or we shall love him with an undivided heart. Or we shall love him with a perfect heart. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Perfect heart. On the day of Pentecost, when the promise came down, You know, it was promised. Jesus promised. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so the Holy Ghost was Jesus coming. He's Holy Ghost is still Jesus coming. Amen. What does the Holy Ghost? He testified Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Thank you, Lord. Well, he told them, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Yes. Amen.
They'll tell you that being gay is a gift from God.
Right.
And they'll tell you that there's nothing wrong with their denominations.
Right.
Nothing wrong with their self-seeking.
Right.
Nothing wrong with their gods and many altars.
Right.
Save yourself
yes.
from this untoward generation. All right.
Hallelujah.
I got a call from one of my nephews yesterday. His name is Robert Keith Brinkley. He's brother to Rhonda. Rhonda's the one that's up and down, in and out. Keith, he calls himself a minister. Again, he says, I was down that way a few weeks ago. I said, what were you doing? He said, headed down to Florida. I said, man, you're traveling, huh? He said, yeah, I'm traveling. I'm a Mason. I said, that's too bad.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we've had that conversation before, so I didn't go any farther with it. And I'm glad he didn't come by, because
yeah.
me and Masons have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. And if he would have been by and say, Uncle James, can I come and see you? I'll say, not being a Mason. You want to come and see me, you have to come being a Christian. See? And if you maintain your Mason, don't come by here. That's exactly how I would say it. Hallelujah. Well, I know. I wouldn't say that like, you know, my children. I know. You need to ask God to give you a clean, undivided heart, you know? You know, one question I would ask him is, who is his allegiance to? The Masonic order or Jesus Christ? Now, we have to ask ourselves. That's concerning anything. Who is your allegiance to? And if the answer is not Jesus Christ, then your heart's not perfect. You're not right with God. We can have nothing before him. Husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister. If any man love these more than we love Jesus, then we're not his disciples. Hallelujah. So, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. You understand? I say it like that because I'm testifying what the Lord has done. Now, I've done nothing. I've gotten better than I deserve. Less than I deserve. I'm unworthy of the least of his mercies. So I don't mind saying thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to say thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. But we're being tried all the time, you know. That's what the psalmist said. Try me, prove me, search me. Well, that's in agreement with God. He searches, he tries, he proves us. He see if there be any wicked way. You know that, huh? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, the reason he called was to say Happy Father's Day. That don't move me. Absolutely not. Praise the Lord. But my kinfolk, if they would please me, they would serve my God. That makes sense? Hallelujah. Well, you know, if I was a singer, I'd want them to listen to my singing. If I was an actor, I'd want them to, you know. If I was a ball player, I want them to come to my game. Since I'm a Christian, I want them to serve my God. That's how I am. If they don't do it, then they don't please me. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Yeah, happy Father's Day don't please me. No. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Happy Easter either. They say that too, you know. We get them here. Folks say they listen to the broadcast, and about every year we get a Happy Easter or a Merry Christmas. Not very many, but enough to know that folk don't listen. And that should tell us to be careful. If we see that folk listen to the broadcast and they hear that, then we should cry out to God. Yeah, we should take heed. We should receive instruction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, I don't have animosity, but, you know, we don't serve the same God. No. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, my son likes to please me, but he can't please me because he don't serve my God. He send me cards, and I hear from him every day. He said, praise the Lord, Dad. Good morning. Every day. That's not bad, but, you know, he don't serve my God. Oh, he, you know, talk the talk. In fact, my nephew, he talk, they say the words, you know, like Mr. Obama. You know them politicians. They know what to say. Yeah. Clinton, what's her name? Hillary, she said, I don't feel no ways tired. How about that? She talking about serving the Lord. She know nothing about serving the Lord. I don't say that, you know. I say it in truth. Because that's the world we live in. I got a whole bunch of folk that say they know the Lord and they serve the Lord. And some believe they do and others just say it to make you think they do. And either way, it's a deception. I saw a little clip on my phone about a man talking about this is not a Christian nation. Absolutely not. But there's no nation on the earth where there's Christians and none else. No, even back in the day when God identified his people, they had them other gods right in the midst. In fact, if you read the Bible, that's what God rebuked them about all the time. So if you're going to look for a nation that, you know, that truly served God and name no other name, that's a spiritual nation. Yeah, that's the holy nation, the royal priesthood. But that's not, I don't care where you go, UK, Africa, China, they're not Christian nations. Thank you, Lord. There's Christians in every nation, but they are of another nation. They're just ambassadors, like we need to walk like we are ambassadors. In other words, this world is not our home. We're pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we seek the things above. While Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set our affection on things above. We have to work with that, not on things on the earth. We are dead. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's the standard. Of course, our mind says yes, but our heart hadn't come to that point yet. Hallelujah. It's manifest in our holding back. Perfect, we give everything. That's perfect. Remember, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, keep the commandments. Well, I've done that. What like I yet? We're talking about perfect. Everything. That's everything. And we like to hold something back for ourselves. No matter. And it's just devastating. No matter what you hold back, it's going to cost you as much as, you know, if you hold back a little, you hold back a lot, it's still going to cost you. It's going to prevent you from getting the good gift. Everybody, it's going to prevent your perfection. No? Hallelujah. So as the man of God would always say, it's not how much you give, that counts is how much you hold back. Because if you hold back, then you haven't met the requirement. And this is quite the point that we don't seem to think it's worthy of speaking of, but we need to look at it very closely. Because the righteous judge is a righteous judge, and he expects what he expects. He says what he says, and if the heart is deceitful above all things, which it is, then we ought to ask God to give us a clean heart, create in us a clean heart. Amen. Renew a right spirit within us. Give us an undivided heart, a perfect heart. Praise the Lord. So that we give all to him. I'm still amazed now. I'm not speaking like I've arrived, but I understand what the requirement is. And that's to give all to him. And it's very simple. The example is he gave his all. He gave his all for worthless junk. That's us. And we are to give our all because he gave his all for us. We're not convinced. There's something evil, wicked working in us. That's what it is. That's what it is. When we hold back, that's something evil working in us. Absolutely. When we don't trust God, when we don't believe God, that's not righteousness working. That's unrighteousness. Huh? And God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, help me, Lord. And fear came upon every soul. We need that. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. Hallelujah. Again, that's goes with the perfect heart, one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. These things have been in the Bible all the time. Now we're looking at them because we think because we say Jesus Christ is coming that we're ready for him to come. Not with divided hearts. Not speaking the same thing.
Right.
Understand?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One body, one spirit, one accord. They all speak the same thing. When you speak perfect, and that's what God requires. If he's going to accept us, which he does, we have to be perfect. Y'all understand that. Hallelujah. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart. Well, that's pretty much the same then. Here we are in one room. Well, that's pretty good, too. We're the same community, huh? Serve the same God. That's pretty good. How about one heart? That's where we need to get to. The multitude of them that believe. This is a pattern. This is a requirement. This is a precept. Yeah, absolutely. And precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Hallelujah. But we accept the truth or doctrine of Christ as to the degree as what it cost us. And that's where the problem comes in. So holding back is really resisting the truth. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with your stuff. It's you resisting the truth. Because we're only going to receive the truth based upon what it costs us. Remember, the young rich ruler said, I want eternal life. Then he was told the cost. And that's what happened when the truth comes to us. He said, what does it cost? And sometimes we just don't want to pay the cost. And we even go into the delusion that we don't have to pay that. You know, I don't hear us crying out, let us all speak the same thing. You know, it's like the tenants they put on the wall in the Baptist church. So, you know, we put it up there and say, this is what I believe. Right. But our heart don't say it because our mouth don't say it.
Yeah.
We have perfect opportunity to say, Lord, make us one. Let us speak the same. We don't do that. Oh, heal me, Lord. We might do that.
Right.
But we don't cry for that unity.
No.
We don't even think it's necessary. And we're probably wondering why I'm talking about it. See, this is the state that we're in. This is the truth now. And you might not receive it based upon what it'll cost you. See what I'm saying? So we're looking at holding back as really meaning something. Not just, well, you know, we won't get by with holding back. If we receive anything from the account in Matthew 19, when this young rich ruler was seeking to know how to inherit, and that's good work. Eternal life.
Right.
You have to be a son. That's how you inherit. And Jesus told him how to be a son.
Right.
Huh? Forsake all, follow Jesus.
Amen.
Anybody know how to be a son?
Yeah,
forsake all and follow Jesus.
Right.
Now, the follow Jesus part, everybody, you know, they jump on the bandwagon.
Right.
But when you talk about forsaking all,
right,
then that's where we start seeing if I'm willing to pay it. And it's manifest whether or not we're willing to pay. And most just are not willing to pay. They think that God's going to shortchange them. See? That we still have that carnal mind, not fully renewed. God said he withhold no good thing from them that walk upright. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's what, huh? Daily he load us with benefits. Spared not his own son. And here we have trouble giving everything. Now, we can't do it after the flesh. It needs to be our prayer, though. Thank you, Lord. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. They continuing daily with one accord. Anytime we gather, it should be with one accord, one heart, one soul, one spirit. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Same as one heart, all the heart for God. No heart for seeking your own, just all for God. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul, Ain't no separation there. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common. No separation there.
Amen.
If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. See there? There it is again. And if we act like God's stingy, like God hold back and he's a churl,
right,
it says that let him ask of God who give to all men liberally. I mean, he's a cheerful giver. If you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? See? Hallelujah. Y'all know one of them gifts is a move on our hearts so we lay it all down? Well, let's ask him for it. Let's ask in faith, not wavering. Because if we ask wavering, don't expect to receive it. I said, Lord, help me to surrender all, to lay it all on the altar. Help me, Lord. See? That's according to God's will. I prayed from the heart. You know God's going to look on the heart. Thank you, Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's same as a divided heart. You know. We love God, but we love the Masons more, or we love God, or we love ourselves more, we love God, we love anything more, that makes for double-mindedness. And of course God tries us, he tries our hearts, and what he tries our hearts to see if they're holy toward him.
Right. Amen. Thank you.
Y'all know that?
Yeah.
Well, we need to accept what he finds, you know.
Yeah.
We shouldn't overrule God and say, well, no, that's not in my heart. I give all. Well, you lie. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Again, I'm telling you, God wants what he gives to us because what he gives to us is good, so we can give it back to him. If we give from our own selves, it's no good. God don't want it. Yeah, God gives us good stuff so we can give him good stuff. And he gives us good stuff and we hold back, then we're wicked. Everybody understand? We love God because he loved us. If that was the case, we wouldn't love God. That's why it's written. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his son. Remember, there's a giving in it. We love, but where is the giving? What does God want? You. All of you. Full surrender. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Goes on to say, herein is our love made perfect. So, though we love God, it can get some work done, huh? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Again, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. All these say to me that we belong to God. Everything that we have is God's. And when we hold back, we really don't know him as we should. We really don't believe him as he should. Right. See what I'm saying? Amen. It's not just a small thing when we hold back from God. Mm-hmm. If we keep doing it and God don't deliver us, it will be our destruction. It's the same as forsake not all that he has. It really means forsake not all that he has. Mm-hmm. It means hold back nothing. Everybody understand that? Now, I'm saying it like this because though we've heard it so much, we've heard it not like we ought to hear it. You know, it's just like nothing. We don't get excited about it. Don't move us. Don't make us cry out. Don't make us seek God. Don't make us fast. Don't make us pray. Because I guess we figure, God's going to just Neil, I like Neil, so it'll be all right. See? But it won't be like that. That's how the world does it. You know, much of Neil's favors he found, but because folk like him, and they didn't make him toe the line. See? But God's not going to do that. God loves you. And in his love, he will have you meet the standard. Hallelujah. Come to perfection, completeness. Now, don't look at it wrong. Coming to this perfection completeness is not something you actually do. It's something you actually receive. And while we're trying to act like God's trying to take something from us, what God's endeavoring to do is give us. And the ways of the world, the old carnal mind, has got us upside down and backwards. That's why the mind really has to be renewed. And we'll understand how holding back is just not a love toward God. Whatever it is, we're holding back. Huh? Because it's not about what you're holding back. It's about what you're holding back. You know, a man's only going to hold back what's dear to him. That's different for each of us. Except we come into the unity, and the dear one is Jesus Christ. And we can't do without him. We'll forsake all just to have him. This is what's required. Not just singing the song, take the whole world and give me Jesus. They all do that. I mean, walk in that. Let it be down in your heart. So that when he requires of you, you freely give and gladly give. See? Now we're going to try to separate things, though. You know how we do. We're going to try to fix it so that it leaves us without fault.
Right.
We aren't going to say, well, I come short in this. We aren't going to judge it like that, are we? Y'all quiet on me. Yeah, old Terry, he hold back all the time. Yeah, Marie too. Well, that doesn't really matter. How about you? Huh? Praise the Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know we can be perfect. That's the work of Christ. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. And in perfection, we don't hold back anything. No, we lay down our lives for the brethren. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Kings 8, verse 59, let these words wherewith I made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord, our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter requires. That's a good prayer. As the matter requires. I like it. Hallelujah. Oh, that that the Lord our God, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter requires. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. Verse 61 says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as at this day. But King Solomon, oh my God, loved many strange women. This is 1 Kings 11. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians and Hittites. See? Of course, there were many women of Israel, but Solomon went beyond that. He found those of the other nations. Of course, God said, don't do that. Don't go in under them. Don't let them come under you. He said, the reason they'll turn your heart from you. And this is the truth. Your kinfolk will turn your heart from God. Let me read it. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. See? Solomon clave unto these in love. It's 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So we should be on the watch for anything that move our hearts from God. It's working all the time, you know. This is the war we're in. We should be sober. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God. As was the heart of David, his father. So perfect heart is attainable. David had one. Solomon did. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And God did appear unto him. He prayed. He asked for wisdom. God gave it to him, gave him many other things. Not enough to keep his heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of his David his father. So it seemed like we have a few witnesses concerning David's heart. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem. All right. To set up his son after him to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt live and not die. For thou shalt die and not live. Thou shalt die and not live. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I've walked before thee in truth. He's talking to God, and with a perfect heart. And have done that which is good in thy sight. Well, God wouldn't hear that prayer, would he? He did. He sure did. Hallelujah. He heard the prayer. He sent the prophet back. He said, tell Hezekiah, I heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And I've added 15 years to your life. Huh? Hezekiah had a heart after God. Well, did he do wrong? That's what men do. Well, we need to put that in the right light. I always cringe when I hear what's his name down in Moline? Murphy. I'm so glad that God revealed to me why he made man. And he just don't say that right. You understand? No. He don't say it right. Wrong spirit. He says it in the way that old Jeremiah's taught. You know, it don't move him away from his wickedness. God made us to sin, but not to continue in sin. Huh? But to overcome sin. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Well, I guess David's only sin was killing Uriah. Absolutely not. Yeah, but he had a perfect heart to it. He did. Well, you know, God made me to sin, so I'm going to get it done. See, that's how Murphy talks. That's exactly how it sounds. God made us so that we could be one with him. All partakers of his divine nature. Huh? And all of his righteousness and his glory. You know, he's called us to his kingdom and his glory. And even though we're partakers of his sufferings, just like Paul, we're also partakers of his glory. He didn't make us so we could just out-sin the heathen. So in the book, that's how it happened. You know, Israel outdid the heathen. Yes, they did. Thank you, Lord. So hopefully he don't mean it like that, but that's how I hear it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We overcome sin. We overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Now, I guess we could have a debate or a discussion on why the book said that that's the only way David sinned in killing Uriah, but we're not going to do it. Praise the Lord. What we're going to hold to is that God did hold him chargeable for that, and that God always said concerning David that his heart was after him. And basically, this is because of how David regarded God. Absolutely. And that's what makes for a perfect heart. Listen to David's prayers. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a prayer of old Hezekiah. It says here in 1 Chronicles 12, all these men of war that could keep rank They came to with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. They were all with one accord. There was no dissension, no division. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun, Zebulun, Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules, on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins, and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was great joy in Israel. Hallelujah. Yes, they were all with one consent in making David king. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Listen, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, yours, mine, his and theirs, and he understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Hallelujah. First Chronicles 29, we have an account of the people of Israel giving offerings to the Lord. And it shows how they were grateful to be able to give. Ain't no holding back here. When folk, yeah, that's why God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that's what it means. You give it willingly and you're glad that you're able to give it. That's the kind of giving that God accepts. Then the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David also, the king, rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, O Lord God Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. We ought to say it like that every chance we get. For all that is in heaven and all that is in earth is thine. Please understand that. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. He owned the cattle on a thousand hills. All the beasts of the field are his. We're just saying it in another way. All on the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise thy glorious name. For who am I? He says it again. And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? He goes on to say, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. This is the heart that David had. He didn't think when he gave something that was actually theirs. And here, God want my stuff. He got everything and he want my stuff. That's what holding back says. Everybody understand that? Whatever it is you're holding back. Yeah, God got everything. They want my little stuff. You know, like the water. Oh, what if God got everything? He want my little two mics. See? That's how it is when we hold back. Mm-hmm. God don't want you a little too much. He wants you. Hallelujah. And he don't want you to go to hell for your two mites. Yeah, he want to take you to glory with him for all that he has. Hallelujah. Y'all see the different mindset? One is a renewed mind and the other is the old mind. Old God, he got everything. He want my little stuff. Give me a break. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, for we're strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. And our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none about it. Yeah? We're just worthless, no good, undeserving. And here you would give us this grace that we might give unto you. It is grace, you know. Otherwise, we couldn't give to God. By grace, he's given us so that we can give to him. And what he wants us to do is be grateful for receiving it, so we give it to him. You know, we have something to, somewhat to offer. See, you know, God requires an offering. And we don't have anything. So God gives us something so that we might have somewhat to offer. Hallelujah. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. This is what's required of all of us. All right, not just David. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. From whence cometh wars among you? 2 Chronicles 19:6. Take heed what you do, for you judge not for a man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Thank you, Lord. Yes, when they had set up the princes. Thank you, Lord. In Jerusalem, from the Levites, priests and chief of the fathers, for judgment. But his instruction, make sure you judge not for man. Good instruction, isn't it? But for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat said of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies. Wherever there are men, there they will be. But there is an order for judgment. You understand. When they returned to Jerusalem, he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Okay? 2 Chronicles 25:1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. Isn't that something? Well, he was older than Manasseh. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when thou wilt come unto me, O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Psalms 51:10 said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. So have we found fault with the Lord? What iniquity have we found in it? Thank you, Lord. How is it we say, wherein is thou love me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. So we've talked about the perfect heart. We've talked about perfect love. The Bible even speaks of perfect peace. Certainly talks about the perfect man. Hmm? So what God requires is perfect. You know that? Hallelujah. So let's look at it. We've got a few scriptures about it. Help me, Lord. Perfect. It speaks of holy, blameless, without offense, accepted, justified. That's what perfect speaks of. Are we any of those? We're all of that. How is that? In Christ. Hallelujah. And that's it. Now the stealing from God or taking back from God is us meeting the standard some other way. Even the hint of it. You know. Even the hint of it. That moves us away from perfection. There's no perfection in the flesh. No matter what it does, how it does, how long it does. There's only one perfection, and it's in Christ. And for us to be in the perfection, then we have to remove all the resistance, all the other kings that say, I'm right. You have to move everything that claims righteousness so that you can be perfect. And this is quite the move. Only God can do it. As we yield to him, well, you can't do that in the flesh. What you'll get is you'll think you've done it while you're not doing it. That's the deceitfulness of sin and the deceitfulness of the heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, blameless, are we not? Without offense? Are we accepted? In the beloved? Okay, then. Now, all we need to do is hold to that and maintain our perfectness. How about that? So actually, we aren't talking about, again, doing something. We're talking about receiving. And this is a high hurdle for man. If he can hook and crook and get it or hoodwink, but just to receive it, my God, it's, whoo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What would we receive? God's free gift. Hmm? Was we will have to forsake all to do it. Huh? Otherwise, we renounce it as a gift. You understand that. His gift is for life and for righteousness. And if we find something else that sort of imitate or duplicate or replace, then that take away from Christ. You know that. And we're full of that stuff. Hallelujah. We're going to look at it just for a minute. So it's not hard. All we have to do is get out of the way. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's perfect, isn't it? Absolutely. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his or the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's perfect, isn't it? But understand where the perfection is. Exactly. And all the other stuff, like us holding back, then that takes away from that. See? The stuff we keep ain't going to make us perfect. No, it ain't. Is going to keep us from being in the perfection that's in Christ because he requires us to forsake all to follow him. I see. Well, I'm still getting that. Well, Pastor, you just want our stuff. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite complete, huh? Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is the power that works in us. Let it work. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Again, we're perfect in him. We're complete in him. We're accepted in him. We're blameless in him. We're without offense in him. But that's only in him. Otherwise, we're just lacking. We don't measure up. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Well, you're not going to equate this with me holding back, are you? Yes, I am. I mean, to be a disciple, we must forsake all. And if we're going to follow him, then we're going to forfeit. So, yeah, I'm going to equate it to you holding back. Absolutely. How else should I do it? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring. See, there's laboring. How's it? Fervently in prayers. Oh, I didn't know prayer was a labor, Pastor. Well, if you don't know that, you're lacking severely. Prayer is a labor. And we need to enter into that labor. Hallelujah. Which means we need to overcome the flesh and do what the Spirit would have us to do. Otherwise, it won't be a labor. It won't be effectual. Won't be fervent. Okay? Hallelujah. Paul said, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Yes. Pray for me then. Huh? That's what I pray, that we stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy 3, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. However, that's through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And how are we going to get to this where we really understand and are willing to give all through the faith of Christ? You aren't going to do it any other way, through the faith of Christ. So this is why we fight the good fight of faith. Oh, I know, we believe as long as I say Jesus Christ is coming, I have the faith. Well, I'm telling you not. Not when you're holding back. No. Okay. We'll go on then, in Jesus' name. Gino gave me a letter this morning, man. Let me see. He took it back, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This might be it. Is this it? Sister Bakia put it there. Hallelujah. Bakia's everywhere, ain't she? It says here, dear Gino, our records indicate the student loan listed above is paid in full. As a result, there's a zero balance. No further payments are due. Please keep this notification for your records. How about that? Hey, dear Edward, your sin debts have been paid. As a result, there's zero balance. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. That's the gist of the matter. Yeah, he pays our debt. Not take from us. Our willingness to give all is our faith that we believe that he's removed our debt. Now, when we hold back, we're saying, well, you know, then, of course, we still owe. Everybody understand? Or you would say, man, that who would be foolish to do that? Well, men are foolish. Yeah, they think their little holding back is going to gain them something. Well, Pastor, you're trying to trick us, huh? That's not the Holy Ghost talking. Yeah, the Holy Ghost will tell you, that's the truth. That's the truth. Hallelujah. So, you know, I for a while listened to Brother Stair's account. Nobody here owes anything. Well, maybe when he said it, it was, you know, but then it turned out differently. But I think as far as I know, we're back to that state. Isn't that good? Huh? All we owe is to love. Huh? Now we're going to pay that, aren't we? Okay. Of course, we have to receive from God and give it back to him. We aren't going to complain about that, are we? Huh? God want me to love Kurt just with the love he gave you. You're going to give it, aren't you? See how we look at this holding back? So we're pretty good at holding back, aren't we? Can't be perfect like that. We have to give all. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish up here shortly. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Through faith, through faith. That's why we fight the fight of faith. Huh? That's how we receive from God. That's how we understand. That's why God's given us faith. So we can know the things of God and receive the things of God. So we have to fight the fight of faith. Otherwise, we'll be robbed. And we'll believe that we need to hold back. See, that's against the faith. See how many different ways the Holy Ghost can put this morning. Oh, I thought it was okay of me to hold back a little. Well, not fighting good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. You want to run and give it all? Like old Robert Davis. Hey, Pastor Rice, I got another offering to send y'all. Isn't that wonderful? So we can wake up like that every morning. Hey, I got another offering. Here I am, God. Hallelujah. Is that the requirement or not? Well, we're not saying it too well. It doesn't change anything, though. Hallelujah. Yeah, we seem like we look like chumps when we give stuff. Yet we want all of God's goodness. We just don't want to receive it. How do we receive it? Well, give up your no good stuff. Amen. He'll give you the good stuff. Yes. He'll give you the eternal stuff. He'll give you the everlasting stuff. Just give up your useless stuff. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. But of course, we after the flesh or influence of the world think they're treasures. Yeah. Absolutely. We think the hut we live in is a mansion. Yeah. Get away from me, that one son said. Get away. You just want my mansion. Yeah. Elder brother said, man, that ain't no mansion. That's a hut. Oh, thank you, Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. See? Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We'll be able to offer an acceptable sacrifice. That's what the scriptures are for. Huh? Correction, reproof, instruction, rebuke. Huh? God rebuke and chasten those he loved. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Bring forth fruit. Meet for repentance. Hallelujah. Don't say within yourself, well, I showed up at the dining hall. Praise the Lord. Bring forth fruit. Meet for repentance. Oh, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I guess that takes care of it, huh? Being filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the vocation. When you're called, Vocation. That's what we do. That's what God called us to do. Y'all know that? And that's why this lifestyle is so give glory to God. Because here we've come aside. Otherwise, we'd have commitments that we'd have to meet. Yes, we would. Hallelujah. But we've come aside so that we're free to serve God. Absolutely. And all that we do here, we can do in service to God. Some places we can't do that. We have to do some for Mr. Charlie. You know, but here we give it all to God in righteousness. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the cooks cook, unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Here we can really take no thought for what to eat or what to drink. Yeah, praise the Lord. We can just put all of our substance and all of ourselves to service of the Lord. You know, like true Levites. They all they did was serve God. That was their portion, their calling. That was their inheritance. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This will probably be our last one. You all aren't tired, are you? Y'all agree with what I'm saying? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Ephesians chapter 4, we were talking about that, our vocation, our calling. And as in all things, it's what God has given us to do. So he requires us to be faithful in it. In this way, it says walk worthy, which is the same. He's called us to his kingdom and glory, walk worthy of God. He's called us with an holy calling, walk worthy. He's called us with an holy call. He's called us to this vocation we're in, we're called. So walk worthy of the vocation. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Walk worthy, walk worthy. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. This is, well, first it talks about the unity of the Spirit in the first three verses of Ephesians 4. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Hallelujah. Even as we're called in one hope of our calling. See? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See? Hallelujah. But then it goes on and talk about the unity of the faith. And after the unity of the faith, it talks about the knowledge of the Son of God and the perfect man. And that we come into the measure of that perfect man. Even the statue of the fullness of Christ. Because in him all fullness dwells. Ye are complete in him. Hallelujah. But this is a coming too, you know. Hallelujah. This is a mark. It starts out, of course, with the unity of the Spirit. And then we all come into the unity of the faith. It's the same Spirit. It's the same faith. So what is it? It's the dross. It's the all the other stuff that have to be gotten rid of. That's what I'm talking about. Same Spirit of Christ in you as in me. What's the difference? It's all that other stuff that God got to eradicate. Power of God is the power of God. Oh, we got to get rid of all the resistors. Y'all know that? Anybody know anything about electricity? Enough to know that some things conducted and other things don't conduct it. They don't take away the power. The power just has no effect on them. Well, what do they use? Them ceramic things? Huh? Insulators. You know, no matter how much electricity you put to that thing, it won't. That's what unbelief is. Y'all understand? That power of God, it's the power of God. You stick that unbelief, that's just like that ceramic insulator. Huh? And such things. And this is how we come into the perfection. We got to, you know, yield to God so all that stuff gets gone. Or we don't find some occasion to hold on to it and say, well, it's all right if I keep it, you know, just a little bit. We got to be completely the Lord's. All on the altar laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Unto the measure of a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we all receive. And grace for grace. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to find another one here. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. I told you, you know, coming up, I received instruction from my siblings. They were older than me, of course, from other things too, but mostly from them, because usually that's all I came in contact with until I went to school. You know, the first day of school, man, I was surprised. Look at all them kids, man. Because before that, I didn't see too many. No, I didn't. That's how I was raised. I saw my brothers and sisters, and not all of them, because I was youngest, and some of them had gone on living their own lives. Hallelujah. So mainly my two brothers and sister. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was excited to get to school and see all them children running around. Like I am here. See all God's children? I mean that. Hallelujah. Yeah, for what God has put in my heart, this is a good place for me to be. Amen. Huh? Yeah, I don't want to move away from this with what God has put in my heart. And God has put it there. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, if I was seeking something else, maybe, you know, I'd want to be somewhere else. But I'm not a Mason. I'm God's son. You know, but for the grace of God, I guess I could have been one. Someone asked me that once. You traveling, man? No, not like that. Huh? Praise the Lord. Now, you could just ask them if you find one who their allegiance is to. And they'll probably tell you a lie. But hallelujah. Oh, help me, Jesus. But the better question is, who is our allegiance to? That's what God does when he searches our hearts. He's looking for allegiance to him. He finds anything that's not allegiance to him. He says, oh, gotta go. Ephraim is a cake not turned. This is Spurgeon's Morning by Morning. I thought it was very good. A cake not turned is uncooked on one side, and so Ephraim was in many respects untouched by divine grace. There was some partial obedience. There was very much rebellion left. My soul, I charge thee, see whether this be thy case. Art thou thorough in the things of God? Has grace gone through the very center of thy being so as to be felt in its divine operation in all thy powers, thy actions, thy words, and thy thoughts? To be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body should be thine aim and prayer. And although sanctification may not be perfect in thee anywhere in degree, yet it must be universal in its action. There must be the appearance of holiness. There must not be the appearance of holiness in one place and reign in sin in another. Else thou too will be a cake not turned. A cake not turned is soon burned on the side nearest the fire. And although no man can have too much religion, there are some who seem burned black with bigoted zeal for that part of the truth which they have received, and are charged to ascend it with a vainglorious Pharisaic ostentation of those religious performances which suit their humor. They assume appearance of a superior, appearance of superior sanctity frequently accompanies a total absence of all vital godliness. The saint in public is a devil in private. He deals in flour by day and in soot by night. The cake which is burned on one side is dough on the other. If it be so with me, O Lord, turn me. Turn my unsanctified nature to the fire of thy love, and let it feel thy sacred glow. Let my burn side cool a little while I learn my own weakness and want of heat when I am removed from thy heavenly flame. Let me not be found to be a double-minded man, but one entirely under the powerful influence of reigning grace. For well I know, if I'm left to cake unturned and am not on both sides the subject of thy grace, I must be consumed forever amid everlasting burnings. Isn't that pretty good? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let us lay it to heart. Let the word take root in our hearts, that we may bring forth fruit abundantly for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Brother Owen, can you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, come to you again, thanking you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Owen, for praying for us. God bless you, saints. We need this word to take root in our hearts and bring forth fruit. It's good word. It's true. And I stand amazed. I do, you know, to talk like this. You think you know me. You don't know me like I know me. And every time I, by the Spirit, speak like this, I say, mm-mm. Hallelujah. This is not how the natural man talks about giving up. No, it's how I do it by the Spirit, though. Hallelujah. And I believe it just like that. Yeah, I don't want to be found holding back nothing. You, if you hear me pray, you hear me pray every day. I want my all on the altar late. Yeah, I don't want to find something that's a treasure to me that I need to keep other than Jesus Christ. He is a treasure above all treasures. All I need, I find in him. Glory to God. Lord bless you, saints. Maranatha, the King is coming.